Shimmer of the Silver Moon by Tim Simpson. Copyright by Tim Simpson, 2021. All rights reserved. Part of the Wolf by Night series of books, also by Tim Simpson. A Welcome from the Author. Greetings, my friends, my listeners, and my readers. My name is Tim Simpson, and welcome to my world. I call it my world because this is the world I created. You see, I took my wild and outrageous imagination, the one I have had since childhood, the one that expands beyond time or reality, the same imagination that takes all the people of history, my favorite subject, and combines them with my favorite genre, which is horror. I throw the two in a blender and pour them out into a mixer, and the end result is, well, simply put, this. Theodore Roosevelt, in a world where werewolves actually exist. So it's my world, not in some arrogant, egotistical way, more like a crazy mad scientist in a lab way. However, it is a big world, a world where all are invited and very much welcome. Regardless of race, color, nationality, or gender, it is a world that can be inhabited by all. This world is only one of many. I have worlds based on the future. I have worlds placed in the 1950s. I have worlds where vampires rule. I have worlds upon worlds, and this is only one, my newest one. So come on in and relax. Kick back and take yourself away from the realities of your world and enter into mine. Tim Simpson, Valentine's Day, 2021. For those that love werewolves, one of my many recurring dreams is that I am a werewolf. It is crazy, I know, but all the same, I have them. One in particular is the one where I am soaring high above the trees. No, not a flying werewolf. Oh, wow, that would be so awesome. But no, not a flying one. I see my arm stretch out and grab hold of a tree limb. I pull myself up hard, and in doing so, the momentum throws me to the next and the next until I reach the treetop. Then I spring high into the air. I can actually feel the wind on my fur-covered face. My thoughts are mine, but my body is that of an animal. It is an incredible feeling. I look down and see the treetops, and then, well, I wake up. I have had the dream many times, so I guess it is only natural that I write a book around a wolf. A werewolf. So here it is, the beginning of a new series. I hope you enjoy it as much as I have being it. Tim Simpson. No man is above the law. No man is below it. Nor do we ask any man's permission when we require him to obey it. Obedience of the law is demanded as a right, not asked as a favor. Commissioner Theodore Roosevelt. I see in ways others do not. I have lived for generations and seen many things. I have traveled the world looking through the eyes of an immortal. I have loved only one woman, fathered only one child, and then my life began once I was able to shed that disgusting image, the image that conceals the beauty that lies dormant within us all. All we need is a little push to bring it out. One clip of the flesh and the beast comes to the front. And for it is the beast that is real, humanity is the illusion. And all of us hide behind that illusion. But that is about to change. All of it is going to change. Now is the decade for the wolf, and tonight brings forth a new generation, a new beginning, and a new birth. It is a night that belongs to the wolf. Wolf by Night, Book 1, Shimmer of the Silver Moon. Prologue. New York City, 1895. He leaps from the grass. He grips the tree branch nearly 20 feet above his head. He slings, shot from the branch, sending him high into the air. Using his left, he grabs another branch, sending him further up the tree. He does this until he runs out of tree. He grips the top of the giant oak. He leans his body outward. The tree cracks and pops, but does not give under his immense weight. He stretches as far as his body will allow. The moon silhouettes his long snout, his ears pointing upwards. They miss no sound, not even from this high up. His deeply set eyes glow red as the moon shines just right, catching the reflection. He opens his mouth to let out a puff of air. It is so cold, the exhale can be seen. His narrow, long hands grip the tree tightly, the claws wrapping around the branch. At this moment, nothing motivates him, with the exception of hunger. He needs to feed. With the aid of the moon, his teeth can be seen, long, gnarled teeth that hang in his mouth like killer stalactites. He looks up. The snow has begun falling. His ears twitch. A noise catches his attention, a noise far below. He moves his head downward. The hunger is producing saliva that hangs from his lower fur-covered jaw. He is hungry. His eyes zoom like binoculars. His vision passes the tops of trees, cuts between buildings, and then, over 500 yards away, he sees slight movements. Like a hawk, he watches. He listens. Like a predator, he surveys his surroundings. He has to make sure he will not be seen before making his deadly move. And then he pounces. He leaps high into the air. He looks down as the tops of trees pass by him. He grabs another tree and the springboarding back into the air. He feels the cold breeze blowing his fur. It feels good. His body is hot with rage, hot with anger, and hot with hunger. His eyes zoom onto his target. Jack Patterson is a man without a home. He lives on these streets. He lives off the kindness of others. He did not choose to be here, but here he is, and nothing can change that fact. He opens the lid of a trash receptacle. The smell causes him to recoil and close it rapidly. He pulls his tattered coat collar closer around his thin, starving neck. He was a family man in another life. He had a wife and 2 children. Some say he went mad after she left him for another man, and some say he killed her and his children were taken away. Whatever the story is, he is a desperate man now, always looking for 2 things, a warm place to lay his head and any meal that can be easily obtained, mostly near John's diner. John always sets a little plate out for him. But he has to hurry, because the city streets is crowded with competitions, mostly of the 4-legged variety. And tonight he was not lucky. Tonight his food was taken by the local tomcat. So now he has to dig in the trash in hopes of finding some small token to ease the pain in his stomach. only if he had not stopped to glimpse a mugging, if he would have made it to John's just seconds earlier, he would be eating leftover turkey and bread. But he wasn't, so there is no use in dwelling on what could have been. But at least one thing is for sure. There will always be a tomorrow. Well, maybe. He moves to another trash bin. Hey, who was there? He turns his head from the sound that roars from the alley. He pauses to try and look into the night. The buildings are close together. He sees nothing. His heart is racing, as one might expect it would when facing the unknown. He knows someone is in there. He wants to run, but he is so hungry, and he is far too tired and weak. Is someone there? He steps closer to the alley. A gush of warm wind causes him to step back and rethink his next course of action. Then he freezes. He looks up, and then...